Hey, this is Lee Balcom. Welcome to this very special training. This is a training to help you understand what's behind this tool I have for you that's not just about transforming your relationship, but it's about transforming your life if you'll use it. Now, we're going to talk some about a couple of pieces of the puzzle, and one is about gratitude, and that is why it fits in this time of year. One of my concerns is that we always kind of pull out this gratitude thing, this thankfulness thing, only a few times in the year or even in the week. And so we kind of pull it out when it's Thanksgiving time. And I don't know if you're like my family, but you know, when everybody's around, we have to go around the circle and everybody has to talk about what they're thankful for. And sometimes I feel like I'm kind of on the spot. The things that I really have gratitude for are so close that I only want to express it to the people that I really have that gratitude with. And so I come up with something kind of off the cuff. Now, I always think about it ahead of time because I know it's coming, but it's kind of off the cuff, and it's not quite as deep as it could be. And then I notice that people do that gratefulness thing, that thankfulness thing, sometimes before meals. My family always does a prayer time. I grew up with saying grace at meal, and grace is actually the root word, same root word as gratitude. So grace and grateful are the same thing. And then other people kind of pull it out, maybe on a Sunday morning or a Saturday evening or a Friday evening or whatever faith, you know, different times. Some have specific prayer times. But this whole thing of being grateful is important, and not just in those moments, but of cultivating that throughout your life and cultivating it on a daily basis. And so while I'm doing this training at a specific time in the calendar year, for at least for the United States, the time's already passed for Canadians, and other places have it at different times, I want you to think of this gratitude thing as being a big deal all of the time. And I'm just using this as a moment to highlight it. Tony Robbins says that when you're grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears. And I find that to be such an important thought, that gratitude somehow helps us combat our more primitive spots. Gratitude is the state of being thankful. And for me, it's also the action of grateful, the action of finding that place of gratitude. So when you finally get there, you have that state of being thankful that comes with gratitude. But the thing is, it disrupts your fear brain. So just for a moment, let's talk about this in terms of brain. Your brain has two possible phases it can be in. One is fear, and the other is love and appreciation and gratitude. I haven't quite figured out what the right word is for that. And so I kind of struggle with that, but love, appreciation, gratitude kind of feels like the right place. Now, when I say love, be clear, I'm not talking about that tingly feeling you feel at the beginning of a relationship. It's not infatuation. Love is action. So we're either at fear or we're at choosing actions to be loving and choosing actions to be in gratitude and appreciation. Our fear is kind of our automatic setting. It's a very primitive setting. It happens at the very base response of your brain. The amygdala is the deepest part of your brain, and it is important to keep you alive. It's always looking around for the threats that might come your way. It's always scanning the horizon, scanning around, looking for what might hurt you. That amygdala is hypersensitive. It was developed long ago when our ancestor had to survive daily moments in life. I can tell you just briefly an experience I had earlier this week when I was out running on the trail. And I'd had a couple of run-ins with owners who were letting their dogs run loose. And so I had to say hi to a lot of dogs. And then I was rounding the curve, and there in front of me, I thought, there's another dog that's just out there by itself. And I looked around a little harder, and I didn't see anybody that was with it. So I ran a little further, and then the dog reappeared in front of me a little closer. And I could tell it wasn't a dog. It was a coyote. And it's interesting, the change in my body, the response in my body was automatic. I saw that coyote. It was a wild animal, not a dog. Now, a dog could have hurt me too, and a coyote's not likely to hurt me, right? I mean, just in terms of understanding what coyotes really do. They don't want to be around humans, but that momentary sudden surge of adrenaline in my body. Now, what really got interesting was that a coyote decided to track me as I was running, and so the coyote would reappear behind me at a safe distance, but behind me, then disappear again and reappear in front of me again at a safe distance and then disappear. And those moments when it disappeared was worse than when I saw it, because my brain would go into fear of, where is that thing? My brain, my amygdala, was working overdrive in that run, trying to make sure I was keeping track of where the threat was. It was just kind of looking for that threat. And I don't want to get rid of the amygdala. I find it to be a useful part of my survival skills, and so do you. Those who didn't have such a sensitive system in their brains long ago, well, they're not around anymore. Their DNA is certainly not around. They became lunch, while your ancestors, my ancestors, our ancestors, survived by being hypervigilant. Which is great, except for it gives us too much fear these days, because the fear begins to be globalized. We can begin to think about things and process things and keep ourselves up late at night worrying about things. That's in the amygdala. You add on, the amygdala is just looking for threat, and then you add on the limbic part of the brain, which is the feeling part, and then we begin to have the interpretation of the threat as being fearful, of scaring us. Now, the next part up from there is the love and appreciation part of our brain, the gratitude part of our brain, which is always accessed by choice. Now, sometimes it just happens. Something overwhelms you with gratitude. Maybe you get to the top of a mountain and you look out and you just have this sense of awe and gratitude. You know, I get that a lot when I'm running. That's why I do that. And so I can look around and go, wow, look at this. And I can go out on nights and look up and see the stars and go, wow, look at this. So sometimes that sense of awe, that sense of gratitude comes just kind of upon us, but we can always choose to access it. That comes from our neocortex and our limbic system. See, our limbic system has that feeling part of our brain, which is really how we associate with other people. We feel close to other people and we feel some attachment with other people that makes us want to have some connection with them. And then it ties in with that neocortex. The neocortex is that part of the brain that we're so proud of, you know, that helps us to use language and reason and logic and all those other things. It's where we choose to problem solve, and it's where we can choose to intervene on ourselves, on our own behalf, and move to something bigger, something greater. And so part of what we're looking at is that place where we make the switch from the bottom part of our brain that's all about keeping those threats at bay to the top part of our brain, which is all about love and appreciation and gratitude. And we can nurture that within ourselves. And that's an important thing to do. When I was growing up, I was kind of raised on a gratitude place. My father was very grateful for the things in his life, and my mom was very grateful for things in her life. And my grandmother, who I dearly loved, was one of those grateful person for everything around her. She was very appreciative and grateful. And so I was raised on watching that. And I remember many times my father would sit at the end of a month and sometimes beginning of the month and talk about how he was so grateful that we had enough to get through the month. We had enough to make do with what we needed to. Now, my father was a pastor. Never did he make a lot in, you know, as a businessman might or somebody else, but we always had enough, and we always made sure that we felt that we had that gratitude for that place. For me, over time, I've realized that my prayers in life are always just thank you. You know, I realize that I don't ask because that's not my place of what I find to be important, but to say thank you, to be able to make a shift and to come to a place of abundance, not just a place of being stuck. For me, this is really where we make a shift. We go from striving to thriving when we go from fear to gratitude. Whenever we're striving, whenever we're stretching for something and wanting more and all those other things that happen to us, we're really at a fearful place. But when we have gratitude, we move to a thriving place. And our thriving place is being able to say, wow, you know what? I'm really a fortunate person here. And even the word fortune, I find that I can't find the word to express this other than I'm a grateful person. John Kabat-Zinn says that at a base level, what he does every day is to wake up and inhale and say, ah, yes, still here. That at a base level, we have gratitude just for continuing to live, just for being here. And then we can add on to that from here. And now there's an important reason for that. And the important reason is that we can tie it even into relationships. And that's why we're talking about it here. It can affect your life and marriage. So there's some research for you, a little research understanding. At UNC Chapel Hill, psychologist Sarah Algo had people keep a journal of the things that their spouse did for them, for which they were appreciative. And it doesn't matter how small it was, just whatever they did that made them feel appreciative. And then it had them included in that journal how it made them feel. And what she realized is on the days where the person was able to journal about being more grateful, there was more connection in the relationship. Now, it didn't really matter how often the person did thoughtful things, but how the grateful spouse felt about those things. In other words, it's not like the person had to be doing grateful things 24 hours a day or things that we appreciate 24 hours a day for us to feel the gratitude. The gratitude is what we put on those events. So if we sit back and go, what am I grateful for? Wow, what did my spouse do? You'll notice that it makes you feel more attached to the other person. And it's very important. It didn't matter how often the person did the thoughtful thing, but how grateful the spouse felt about those actions. So you may be sitting there going, wow, right now I'm not getting anything from my spouse. But I want you to be aware that you can even have gratitude for the fact that your spouse has pointed out that there's something wrong with your relationship, that pointed out that there's something that needs a shift in your life, that there's something maybe you need to grow into. You can be grateful even for that place. And so you can look back and think about all those gratitude places. You know, I always suggest that people go mining for the gratitude moments, thinking back on better days, maybe when you went away for a trip or got a thoughtful gift or, you know, all kinds of other places it might have been when your spouse was more invested. And what we're trying to do is move back to that place. But you can always go back and mine for the gratitude. So that's an important piece, is to be working on those gratitude places, not just one day a year, not just one day out of seven, not just right before meals, but to be able to work on that on a daily way. So the other place we want to talk about a little bit is appreciation, because it ties into this. Appreciation for me is the expression of gratitude. Sometimes we can have great gratitude and never let it out, never share it with somebody else. So it just kind of sits in us and gets stuck in there. And that can leave us with, you know, a place where it's just kind of ricocheting around in our head. William Arthur Ward said it a little better than I did, much more succinctly. He said, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. So how do we get around that? Well, I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes, but we have some tool that's going to help you think about how you're going to do that. But gratitude and appreciation go hand in hand. Every time you feel gratitude doesn't mean you're going to share your appreciation, but to do that more often. How many times do we feel gratitude for something and never share that with the other person? Well, interestingly, that's been shown to have an effect on marriage, too. University of Georgia had two people who worked on this, Alan Barton and Ted Futris. And Ted says that feeling appreciated and believing your spouse values you directly influences how you feel about your marriage and how committed you are to it and your belief on whether it will last. That's pretty important stuff. So if somebody is expressing appreciation, as opposed to feeling gratitude for what your spouse does, if somebody is expressing appreciation, it can actually buffer for a relationship. The power of thank you, that's the expression of gratitude, is, according to Alan Burton, even if a couple is experiencing distress and difficulty in other areas, gratitude is the relationship in the relationship can help promote positive marital outcomes. In other words, sharing appreciation with your spouse actually has a protective effect. Even when there's poor communication, even in the middle of poor communication and poor many struggles, misperceptions, if a spouse is expressing appreciation, it can help. So now let's talk a bit about what I just said. Gratitude, feeling gratitude, can make you feel connected with your spouse. Feeling gratitude for what your spouse does for you can make you feel that connection. Expressing appreciation for the other person can allow that person to feel connected with you. Notice that you have power over both of those pieces. Now, you don't have power on whether your spouse is going to work on gratitude and whether your spouse shows appreciation. But you can work on this yourself. So if you don't feel like you're getting appreciation from your spouse, work on the gratitude part, not just about your marriage, but in life. If you want your spouse to feel and to have some connection, you express appreciation. Those two tools can turn your relationship around. So now, hopefully at this point, you have printed out the tool that I provided with you. And if not, I want you to hit pause right here and print out the PDF. And let me tell you a little bit about this PDF. This is a tool that I've been using with my coaching clients to see how it would work. I've been testing it out. And what I've discovered is that when people are willing to use it on a daily basis, it has a transformational impact that is impressive. It's amazing. And so what I'm challenging you to do is to use this Thrive Journal I've created for at least a month. Give it a full month. And after that month, then you can assess whether you want to move forward with it. I think you're going to find that it's transformational enough that you want to do it every day. So you print out one a day. And I don't print out like 365. You know, you might print out a few, but don't overwhelm it, because this is one of those that you want to keep up with it, but you don't want it to have it all staring at you all the time. Okay, so what you'll notice if you've printed this out, at the top it says Thrive Journal, and then there's a date beside it. So just fill in the date, and then you'll notice that there are really six sections to it, and then there are a couple of reminders at the bottom. So let's go through each of these sections so you understand how to do it. The first one is gratitude, and that is in the upper left-hand side. The gratitude is where you think about the things for which you're grateful. Now, this is, I've talked about this many times, this is the gratitude journal as stripped down as you can make it. Four things for which you're thankful each day. Now, at least come up with three. If you can't come up with four, just come up with three. And you want to be fairly specific. The reason you want to be specific is you're going to do this again tomorrow, and you're going to do it again the next day, and you're going to do it again the next day. And so you begin to notice that you're looking for the things for which you feel gratitude. Look for some things your spouse does for which you feel gratitude. Look for things about your kids, about your family, about your life, about you being alive, about your health. I mean, it can be from anywhere. If you're walking around and you see a beautiful bird and you go, wow, you know, I'm grateful for that. That's fine. Put it down. Write it down. And my suggestion is that this Thrive Journal you fill out every morning. So get up about 15 minutes early and do this. It's going to be a huge 15-minute gain in your day, because it's going to change your mindset. We're dragging you out of that striving place and putting you into that thriving place. Okay, so the four things for which you're grateful, that's the first thing, is then that gratitude. So today I'm thankful for, and just write them down. You know, I'm not giving you a lot of room, so you don't have to write a paragraph. You can double up if you need to, but get it in there. Now, you'll notice that each has a little box below it. So at the end of the day, you want to pull this back out. And that on the gratitude, just look through those gratitude pieces and feel. Take in that gratitude. Feel that gratitude just for a couple of minutes. And then you can just check it off and say you reviewed it. That's what the review is. That means that at the end of the day, the other end, the bookends of the day, the beginning you put it down and the bookend at the end, you reviewed it so that you had a point where you kind of did a touch point on that gratitude. It pulls you back to a better place at night. Okay, so right beside it is an appreciation. And my challenge for you is that every day you find somebody to express appreciation. It doesn't always have to be your spouse. In fact, if you have strained relationship with your spouse, don't do it every day with your spouse. It's going to overwhelm them. But, you know, sometimes you might want to share with a child or a friend or a boss or a coworker or the person at the market. But somewhere you just want to think, who am I going to be appreciative of today? What this does is it sets an intention that you're going to do it. So today I will let and fill in that person's name, know how much I appreciate, then write in what it is that you're going to tell them you appreciate. It might be something from the gratitude side. It might be something from a few days before. It might be something that just occurred to you. Okay, so you've got the gratitude. You got four pieces. Then you've got this appreciation side on the right-hand side where you say, today I will let the person's name know how much I appreciate, and then you fill in what you appreciate. And then at the end of the day, did you do that? If not, well, you've got another chance tomorrow. There's a nice thing about every day. You've got a fresh start the next day to try it again. So if you did it, success, yep, click it off. Okay, now let's drop down one more. And this is where we begin to move, not just that gratitude appreciation, but a powerful place where you want to think, who do I want to become today? And this is, it might be who you are. So this is the aspirational side to you. This is who I want to be today. And describe that person. I want to be the kind of person that everybody admires for their honesty. I want to be the kind of person who shows loyalty to my friends. I want to be the kind of person who is quietly honest. I mean, you can put anything in there you want. I want to be the kind of person who shows people how to respect me, whatever it is, right there. So this is who I want to be today. Fill that out, give you several lines to just kind of think through an idea. Now, this needs to be fairly specific, but not like laser specific, something that gives you a place that you can work in all day. It's not like the person, this is who I want to be today, the person today is the person who got coffee on the way to the office. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a real shift in how you want to show up in the world. This is your show up spot today. Now, at the end of the day, you review it and you check it off that you reviewed it. And how did you do? Did you do it? Did you accomplish that? If you didn't, just say, no, I fell a little short. If you did it, say, yep, absolutely, I nailed it 100%. However you went, just little phrase there to let you know. Now, let me just tell you that if you fell short, this is not a so let me chastise myself kind of exercise. This is a so let me see if I can do it better tomorrow kind of exercise. Okay, so review and let yourself know how you did. Now, right beside it, the action today is that you're going to do something differently. The first is how you want to show up. This is how you want to change how you've been. So I want to do this differently. Maybe you've been impatient and you realize that and you want to become more patient. Maybe you haven't been as honest you want to be and you want to be more honest. So this gives you another place to put that in. So today I choose to do this differently. And you write in what you're going to do differently specifically. Now you'll notice that again, you're going to do a review of that and then how you did. You can always give yourself a good assessment or a bad assessment and decide to do it again the next day. Again, not a place to chastise yourself. It's a place to see an opportunity for growth. That's what all this is about, is places of potential growth. Okay, now we get down to some specifics, and this is why I want you to do it in the morning. What I've discovered is that for me, I need to know the most important things to get done that day. I don't need to have this whole checklist of 15 things that I get through five. I need to know what are my top three things that I have to get done. If today is going to be successful, what are they? Now, other things might also get done, but there are usually several things that need to happen that day for it to be a great day. So this is my plan. My most important tasks for today are 1, 2, and 3. Only three. Now, you may have some other things you need to get done. That's fine, but these are the ones that have to get done, and they have to get done, so you're going to prioritize them. So number one, number two, number three, what are those things that must get done? Then at the end of the day, review it. You want to make sure that's one that every day, those top three things should get done. Now, attitude. One thing to remember today is blank, and it might be a quote that you've discovered, or it might be a word that you're trying to live into. If you've heard me talk about our New Year's resolutions at my house, that is about choosing one word to live into all year. So you might put that word. You don't want to do that every day, but you might put that and kind of reflect on it, meditate on it. Some place that you want to be, some mindset that you want to have. One thing to remember today is this quote, this thought, this word, whatever it is. Just give you a place to kind of put that in and choose to live into that arena. Okay, so now we've covered those six areas, and then you just review it at the end of the day. You'll notice at the bottom that I'm going to remind you to be calm, constant, and consistent, and I'm also going to remind you that the three steps to saving a marriage is to connect, to change yourself, and to create a new path. Okay, that gives you the foundation for how you want to move through your day, how you want to move through your life. What you're going to find happens is that as you're doing this, you begin to find that more and more you're looking for places to show your gratitude or to have your gratitude. You're going to start having this kind of a radar system that's going to be looking not for the threats around you, but for the things for which you're going to be grateful. And so you're just scanning the horizon, looking for the next thing you're going to have to put down. So you start looking for that. That changes the way your brain works. It changes the way your thought process works. It changes everything. just by looking for the things you're going to be grateful for. Okay. So that's why it's so important to stick with that over and over. You're creating a new network, a neuronal network in a neuronal pathway in your brain to look for the things you're going to be grateful for. Now, when you start doing the appreciation thing, the reason that I bring that in is because a lot of us aren't very exercised at that. We're not real good at it. And so this is a way of being intentional about exercising that a little bit better. And the more you do it, the better you get at it and the more secure you feel. Remember, the first time you're going to say, oh gosh, I'm going to let this person know I appreciate him. That's kind of scary. But when you do it, you go, wow, all that came out of that was good stuff. So not so bad. I'm going to do that again. Who you want to be today sets your intention for the day, right? And so the more your intention is set on the day, it's just not kind of that, you know, it's easy to kind of float through the day and nothing really changes in how you show up unless you're intentional. So there's your intentionality. And then you follow that up with the action of what you're going to do differently. Then the next part is that if you're getting those top three most important things to be done every day, wow, you know, that changes the whole life. You don't end at the end of the day going, man, I didn't get anything done. You probably got a lot done, just not those top three important ones. So here's how we're going to make sure that happens. Then your attitude is just a reminder to keep you on the path of keeping you going on those good stuff. And then you know how to do your plan to save your relationship, being calm, constant, consistent, working on the connection. That really is the lifeblood of the relationship. And changing yourself as you find the places you need to grow. And here it is. Here's how to change yourself by doing this on a daily basis and creating a new path. Okay, I hope you find that tool useful for you. What I really want you to do is just agree that we're going to do this for a month. And so it's kind of, that's what I'm doing with my coaching clients. Do it for a month. And what I've discovered is almost without exception, after a month, they are sold. They're doing it on their own, you know, and it just flows because this really does change things when you use it. That's your tool. I wish you the best. Practice that gratitude and appreciation. Figure out who you're going to live into. This can be the transformation moment. This day on, begin to use this tool to change your life.